Welcome to the Future Chia Podcast. I'm Leon Fitzpatrick.
And I'm Jos Stalla.
And we'll be talking about everything from Taoism to design to traditional Chinese medicine and everything in between.
And we talk about how to make purpose out of life and life out of purpose, whatever that means.
Join us for our next amazing adventure into the unknown.
Yeah, because that's obviously it's got benefit in that regard.
So, 50 episodes later, we figure out the professional way to do this. Yeah,
but it's still the tech that we have these days and that we'll be doing in such a humble environment. It's still far better than 1925 and when they had the prime ministers, etc., recording on really super duper equipment.
That's true.
And we just completely overpower them.
That's true.
So now we're surrounded by something that gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Gets more and more profound.
Yep.
And soon we don't, maybe we don't have to talk anymore. You know, we just.
Yeah.
You got chip. About it.
You got a chip, Neuralink.
Just think about it.
Or literally, yeah. You can, yeah, that's what Elon's doing. Put a chip in your head.
Think about it. So we just both sit here and think. And
it'd be great for a video episode, wouldn't it? Just us just looking at each other for an hour and a half.
Let's sit there. Yeah. Sit there and stare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. But lots of happening.
You could put you could troll people because you could put like if you can't hear the audio, you're not on a higher level.
Oh, right.
Right, because can you hear what we're saying? If you can't, then you're low vibration.
Then you have to upgrade yourself. Yeah, and then we're selling a product how to upgrade yourself.
That's right, spiritual upgrade.
Yeah, the spiritual upgrade. The operating system 15.5.
If you can't having trouble, if you're having trouble reading people's minds. And you can't infer thoughts, the wavelength of thoughts, then you need this upgrade package.
Yes. And it goes like it never ends. We got all kind of new ideas.
So scripted.
I mean, in terms of the brain, there's some very interesting observations lately. And once again, they're not mainstream. So with anything that is important and urgent, it's never mainstream.
Yeah.
Anything that is completely non-important. And absolutely not urgent.
Yeah.
Is in mainstream.
Yeah.
And made a big fuss about.
That's right. Yeah.
So the research that has happened is a conducted research, scientific research of neuroscientists, Americans and French. And they observed that the amygdala is actually declining and that the function is more and more damaged. And it has reached the point where, according to them, the final protective layer of the amygdala has been destroyed. That means no one knows exactly yet what to do about it because the amygdala is a very important part of our human existence here because it regulates emotions. It is affiliated with a sense of fear, but it's also involved with a sense of decision-making.
Yeah.
And any kinds of ADHD, anxiety, disorders are affiliated with the amygdala. And SSRIs impact on the amygdala so that they regulate problems affiliated with it. So there's a lot of mysteries around it. However, if that organ declines, what we're moving into is emotional difficulty. We're moving into finding it more and more difficult to express ourselves reasonably and effectively. So it's also affiliated with being in a state of fear. It's also, that means if it is deficient, it is one of the reasons why no one feels safe anymore.
Yeah.
And why people can't make decisions anymore and why they actually can't express themselves in line with who they are anymore.
Yeah.
So, of course, with anything, the isolated view on one particular brain function also affects and impacts on other parts of the brain function. And then from a holistic perspective, in no time, you're actually dealing with a serious problem. Yeah. So what they have observed is that in the 1950s, when food started to become processed, that's when the first stage of the protective of the amygdala was damaged. And then over the years, it right up to now where the fourth stage is completely damaged. And what happened over the last 3 years has now taken the final protective layer of the amygdala off, as according to that. So it's now in a state where it's actually not functioning effectively anymore.
Right.
So as a result of that is, you could say it's the biological basis for all the madness that we're experiencing.
Well, the word psychosis has come up a lot, like mass formation psychosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Derangement syndromes around certain politicians, so people seem psychotic when they hear his name. When you hear that word, it's you know, psyops. You see psychological operations.
Mm.
You know, everyone mentions this a lot now, based on what happened, which you can only achieve if you can dupe people or take advantage of them psychologically.
Yeah.
So you do hear that. Yeah, that term has come up a lot. Yeah, like exactly in the last 3 or 4 years
as
explanation for some of the very, very inexplicable behavior we've been witnessing, right?
Because the reason I found that fascinating is because it's probably the first explanation of why everything's so crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, because if that particular function is declined, there's no decision making, it's emotional irritability, it's being over anger,
yep,
far too aggressive and angry, but at the same time, scared.
Yeah.
So, no.
Bad combo.
And then you can't actually make decisions.
No.
So now you are scared, angry, can't make decisions, and can't express yourself suitably and effectively.
Yeah.
And now you got like all kind of madness.
Absolutely.
As a result of that, because the organism inside that body obviously has the need to express itself.
Yeah.
But now a very important function is not available in order to do that. So now that is what within is now basically going haywire. And now it's looking at all kind of reasons and explanations, trying to find something to make sense of.
Yeah.
What is it? Why I'm feeling like that? And then at the same time, obviously what happened over the last 3 years, having put enforcement on the people as never seen before in the history of humanity on such a large scale, obviously, all that now impacting on it. And then on top of it, making people more and more difficult to have healthy food.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it seems like you mentioned you linked it to diet, and which also has a link to behavior, right? So increased sentience over the past, especially in the past 10, 20 years, sort of less physical, you know, less outside doing physical labor, more inside on computers, or poorer diet, less exposure to basically air and sunlight, food being heavily processed, and that which isn't heavily processed is still nutrient deficient. So there's like something like food's got about 25% or less of the nutrient value that it had 100 years ago, maybe on average. That's probably over an umbrella statement there. So it seems like you can only take advantage of people. It can't just happen on one angle. You know, you've got an undermining of the foundations where they're physically declining. And then you've got the ability to, you know, from a Western standpoint, you've got the physical and mental, which they always separate, which I know is different. In Chinese medicine, it's the same thing. But if everyone's physically weak, and then you can, as a result of, or in combination with their, like you said, their mental state, their amygdala and other things that are weakening, you've got to road in, and then there's nothing to back it up. So they can be knocked over, pushed over easily, right? And that's okay. You call someone a pushover as an insult, it means you just give them a tap and they collapse. They have no foundation, no strength to fight this stuff. So what happened in the past few years and what's continuing to happen is, so much of this, there were obviously protests and there were things that happened physically, but there was a huge amount of mental warfare, a lot of battles with ideologies and people, when you said people afraid because they believed everything they were told, then angry when people weren't following the rules and they weren't doing the right thing. And then there's a very psychotic result in that is that you go and yell at people for not wearing a mask or not getting jabbed or blaming them for what's the oppression that's happening, you know, that's being caused by someone else. So it's very easy to take advantage of people when there's no defense system. So there was no immune defense system because people already had weakening immune systems. And then we weren't given any information or tools to use that naturally. And there wasn't any, you know, we know D3 is very powerful. We know that other treatments were very powerful. There was no actual immunity that was already weakening. But then there was no like mental immunity. There was no fortitude, not enough of a moment to stop and go, I'm going to resist this. Or I'm not going to go along with these rules. because we were sort of threatened or held hostage. Like, you can't work, you can't go outside, you can't this, you can't that, do this. And if anyone doesn't do this, you attack them. And the way people turned on each other, the movie The Matrix is all about people being plugged in. Some people are aware of being plugged in, some people aren't. But in the
sense, that's why I find it very interesting, because when I saw that research, for me it was like, oh, because for the last 3 years, I'm so puzzled. How could this all happen? How could this happen? How is this possible? How come some people saw it and some people didn't? How was it possible that people were brainwashed and lied to at such a high scale? And how come some people look through it straight away and other people don't? And this is the first time I see that there's actually a biological basis for it.
Yeah.
And this is the understanding that, like, the amygdala comes in four stages of protection. It's like the researchers used an example of a brake on the car. You've got four brakes on the car. If you've got four brakes, the car stops. If you've got three brakes, it still stops. If you've got two, it still stops, but sort of.
Not as good.
Yeah. But then you've got only one brake left, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
But if you've got no brakes.
You have to hit.
Yeah. And this is exactly what they explained, what we are facing now, that it has reached that stage where there's no brake.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is exactly what I feel like what's happening. Life is coming to the point where it's just the car is heading to the cliff and no one's pushing the brake. Well, how many times have we heard that?
Mm.
That people said that humanity is moving towards the cliff and no one seems to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
Mm.
Because there is actually in the body a mechanism that's responsible for stopping it.
Yeah.
And they have isolated that particular aspect, amygdala. So that there is actually a biological reason behind why this madness is occurring and how it actually was able to actually spread on such a large scale, and how come that no one is doing anything about it as such.
Yeah, well, if I follow that analogy, there's two issues. Would be one, is it heading for a cliff and not having the understanding that you're heading for a cliff and not having the sense to break? But then maybe you get to the cliff and go, oh, I better stop now, but you got no brakes because you've got no foundation, you've got nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do brake, you're going over the cliff still. So it's too late. There's a turning point.
Yeah.
It's too late, right? If you realize it's too late, you can't actually.
Yeah, if you only got one brake,
Then you'll brake and you'll slide off the cliff. It might be quite dramatic. Like, you might.
But if you've got four brakes,
you'll
stop right.
Or maybe some good handling, good steering.
If you've got really one of those latest performance cars, you know, where it is like from 200 to zero brakes in 3 seconds.
Yeah, like carbon fiber brakes, you know, and maybe good low center of gravity and good steering so you can steer. But if you're in a.
But tech wise, it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, you know, 0 to 100 in 2.5 seconds and 200 to zero in 3 seconds.
Yeah. But if you're in a Toyota Corolla with 13 inch rims and drum brakes, you may not have that much of a chance.
That's exactly the point.
Right. So the solution is.
This is exactly the point.
To get a McLaren?
Yeah. That's exactly what we're facing now. The situation is that we need to do a massive upgrade.
Mm.
We have to upgrade the body because it's not about us going out there demonstrating and talking about what's going on with the world and being aggressive about it and telling everyone who are the bad boys and who is the good. And it's about looking at, okay, there's a mystery behind it. And that mystery is that there is actually a function in the body that is damaged. And that means brainwashing is possible.
Mm.
And that means people have lost the ability to make decisions in the right directions. And people are getting angry and emotional about situations. But then, because they can't have decision making, it moves in the wrong direction.
Yep.
And now people get attacked and they attack each other rather than actually working at the unified field. Yeah. And because if one function breaks down, everything else starts breaking down. And as a result of that fundamental function, the amygdala, if that starts breaking down, then everything else will start breaking down, that means the body's not working as a unison.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're facing now is the situation on hand is that the humanity can't operate in unison.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, everyone's screaming out for the right leadership. So everyone's screaming out to get rid of Biden and put in another different president. But if everyone's system is faulty,
the president
won't do much.
It does, maybe on a symbolic level. I think that would account for a lot, be to have someone in there who was actually a real leader who would inspire people. But it's always to make the same mistake that we think we get the right politician in, then we can relax and not do shit. They'll fix everything. And then it turns out that it never happens. Then we blame them. Like the amount of times I grew up hearing about, you know, my dad would talk about, oh, this guy is a crook and this and that. And it was always blaming the politician, but you can never really get them. They'll never live up to the promises they make because they need to get elected. Once they get elected, different things happen. But we always seem to go, put that on them, that it's their fault for this and that, and it's their fault for leadership. But it's rarely, you know, JFK said this, it's like, don't ask what your country does for you, ask what you do for your country.
Yes.
And if you go a bit below that and ignore the patriotism in the country, it's more about what are you doing? And I think you could actually infer a lot more from that.
And that's what I'm aiming at.
Yeah.
We can do things. And the fact is that we actually have to repair that bodily functions within. Because otherwise, we can't actually start operating in unison.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we got the situation that everyone's waiting for the next president to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the next prime minister to fix it. I mean, in Australia, I'm just about giving up hope in that regard. I mean, after Albanese again, so bold.
Well, I just don't think any of them. There's nothing. There's a few senators who actually I really appreciate, but in terms of really having any. I mean, we have local elections here in Brisbane. And I'm watching people outside with the, you know, coming about flyers and signs. And it just feels like the 50s. Like, it feels like you're imitating something that doesn't actually make any sense. Everyone's got the same picture. It's really like them, like, you know, the portrait that says, vote for me, I'm this, and I'll do this, and I'll give you free transport. And it's a parallel reality. It's like a time warp opened up, and they're kind of campaigning as if they're talking about going around, you know, kissing babies and talking about, you know, getting rid of syphilis or something. Like, we're a bit past that. It's not about that anymore. And I think that we're really out of touch. I think it's changed so quickly that you look at podcasts and new media and the ways in which you can really find out about people now. You can sit down and have a 3 or 4 hour conversation with someone, not getting a soundbite on TV about a campaign promise. This is why I really appreciate RFK, who's JFK's nephew, because he's doing that he's understanding new media.
But if the people aren't unable to make decisions within themselves, and have irrational emotionality. And that means even if a good president, like, say, Bobby Kennedy gets in, but if the people are not regulated within themselves,
then
they're going to turn against him.
No, of course. Yeah.
So even the best president will be turned against.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it has passed the point of that politics will be able to change the situation.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And so instead, we need to look within. And this is why I believe this is a mystery. That's what we're facing here. And that is, how did that damage of the amygdalas actually took place in the first place? Because there's a mystery going on here that is a little bit more than just rational, medical, dietary.
Physiological, yeah.
Physiological, but psychological. There's far more going on because this is this. There's a lot of factors now that are actually going into territory that is, oh shit, what is this really going on?
So,
but the fact is that the damage took place before COVID hit, before the pandemic hit. It's just like the pandemic did the final straw on it.
Sure.
And that people were able to be misled in the wrong direction 30, 40 years before.
Mm.
Yes. And because the fact is human nature is lazy. So if you give someone the opportunity to Netflix and a remote control and dial up pizza and Coke, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be 90% of the population acting on that.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's pretty much like what takes humanity on the wrong path.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's people like Tim Kennedy was... You know, Navy SEALs were just speaking up against the enormous fragility and weakness of the new generations of the young 20-year-old.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, and we have reached the level where, according to him, they don't know how to prepare it anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously all that is a development, but nothing great can come from destruction first. And what we're experiencing now is this massive observation, okay, it's not the politics, it's not the bad people which are the problem. It is that we aren't in a, we're not operating in a unified field.
Yeah.
And in order to have a unified field, we've got to be so in tune with our inner world first that we are able to actually make a coherent decision in line with the greater good.
So you said nothing great comes from destruction, but doesn't it seem like everything has to end and there has to be a... I think people think different things when you hear about a destruction or apocalypse, right? Some people think it's back to zero, or what we, you know, read and hear about was the Younger Dryas, where it might have been down to 10,000, 15,000 people, great cataclysms. But there's other ways of looking at destruction. Like we see like things like we just mentioned, politics or social norms or all these things. They can be destroyed, but doesn't mean it's like scorched earth or a wasteland. It's just a different type of destruction. So if you, So if you're saying, what do you mean by, if nothing good comes from destruction, what type of destruction? Because you can't have the new thing without the old thing collapsing.
It needs to destroy.
Right. But in what way do you think that is it?
From a Chinese medicine perspective, every time we're going through a phase of destruction in society, it destroys the previous old power.
Yeah.
Because coming here into this world, everyone has free choice. And if your awareness is on the level of selfish and ignorance, you find out very quickly that you can do big things here and really well suit your ego and your selfish ideas.
Yeah.
So you can really just go for a selfish lifestyle. So which then means you suppress other people's needs. So everyone coming here and who hasn't got the awareness on a higher level will always go for that.
Yeah.
And will realize, okay, I'm going to make everyone my slave.
Yep.
So I got to have a comfortable life.
Yep.
Yeah. So these are the people who don't look beyond.
Yep.
These are the people who don't know themselves.
Yep.
They think that all they are is a physical being here in the physical, and they're scared shitless of dying because after that, it's going to be all finished.
Yeah. So it's what you call like smash and grab. They're here to take as much as they can while I can.
So that's obviously what Chinese medicine has been saying all along, that this is the risk of being of the physical, which is what we spoke on one of the last podcasts, I think it is, that the spiritual hierarchy considers maybe the physical is not a good idea and maybe that model will be discontinued soon.
Yeah.
Because the free choice can cause too much havoc over those who have the awareness and the willingness to work at the unified field, but getting overpowered by those who don't have the awareness and the ignorance is on their behalf in order to make everyone for their own needs.
Yeah, reality 2.0 might be a bug fix, might be removing that element out of the software.
Yeah, so only people can enter here who have that awareness.
Yeah, well, I said reality 2.0, it's probably reality 10 billion.0. Who knows how many times I've done
it. On the other hand, what they say is also the spiritual masters say that then you wouldn't learn much because... I listened to this great podcast last week about this channel who tapped into a planet of such a where there's no negative emotion.
Right.
So all the human beings who live on that planet, all the souls living on the planet, will have a human form, and there's no negativity. It's all good.
But
no one's learning much.
Yeah. Well, what's good compared? If there's no bad, what's good mean?
So they're creating stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they live for creation and they've got a council who loves good ideas and they've got a government who supports.
I would like to go there and see if actually it is that good or they just all think it is. But
oh, no, they're creating great things and everyone's happy.
Right, because there's no negativity. There's no critics. No one's going, that's a bit shit. Do that again.
No. They all understand that they need to create for something that is in line with what they perceive as good.
Okay.
So they are already on the frequency of where they're vibrating on a higher level,
right,
but they don't have any opposition.
That sounds like sort of Soviet Russia, though, for example.
With a difference that maybe the vibration is not quite the same.
On paper, though, it could look the same. But, you know, everyone agrees it's good.
Yeah.
You know, no one's arguing.
I mean, all the channels say, all the masters say, being here in the physical is the toughest school.
Sure.
Planet Earth is the toughest school in the universe.
Really?
And there's, according to them, there's no planet that is tougher.
How many planets are there?
Oh, this is like infinite.
A lot. Infinite, right.
Yeah.
So on infinite planets, we happen to be on the one that's the hardest right now.
Yeah, everyone here wants to do... It's like when you go to the gym, you have the choice to put on the weight that you only just can push 8 times in order to get maximum gain. You could go in there and put a weight on that you can do 50 times and you have a great time.
And you could.
But it's no one forces you.
No, but what you could also do is set your phone up on a tripod and TikTok yourself while you're doing that. So you could wear some spandex and then pretend to work out.
Well, then it's just in.
You get likes.
The challenge is what drives you. So no one forces me to get up at 4:30 to do my exercise.
No, I know on the outside. No.
Yeah. Okay. No one forces me to do my chin-ups.
Yeah.
So, but when I do the chin-ups, I have my challenge.
Yeah.
I want to deal with this challenge.
Yeah.
Like no one forces a mountain climber to go up Mount Everest.
That would be a hard to gunpoint on something. It'd be very hard to keep that going.
No one forces anyone to do a triathlon. You know, so that's obviously a drive within. No one forces someone to create music. So no one forces anyone to do an artwork. So that's the drive of the soul, yes?
Yeah.
And that drive of the soul has got an option to really go to a tough gym for a while, like a serious, we don't have a name for it other than Planet Earth.
Well, isn't there a world gym, like a chain called the World Gym?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's where we're at.
Yeah,
World Gym. Planet. Gym.
Yeah, maybe they had it right in the start. Yeah. So it's when you go in there, it's just like the soul looking at all different options for incarnation and then Planet Earth. Just maybe I do it next time. So now you go to the planet where it's a bit easier.
Right, yeah.
Coming back out again.
So what are we?
I said, okay. I'm not getting quite the results. I just want to build my spirit body.
Yeah, you've got to get a different personal trainer or something.
And then eventually someone, I'm going to go in there. It will be fine. And then you go in there and go, oh, shit.
Yeah, you got a personal trainer who won't stop talking, you know, playing a boombox, you know, and chatting to you about his weekend. And
I mean, you've got a lot of personal trainers with the spirit guy.
I know, but some of them, the real ones in the real world here tend to have had some pretty stupid ones in the past. They're not very good.
Yeah,
they're wankers, so some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is obviously, we take this, everyone here is on a, wants to be here in order to face that challenge, in order to do something.
It's so hard to get my head around that we chose this one.
Because the amnesia of not knowing who we are, because as soon as you incarnate, you just, boom, you disconnect yourself from your memory to the soul.
Yeah, well, it's like going to watch the movies and there's like options to go see like the latest Marvel superhero movie. We don't really need to pay attention to anything. Or you're going to go into the 14-hour long foreign, you know, silent Russian foreign film that's really excruciating. And you go, no, I'm going to watch that. That'll be way better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's kind of like this. Like, I'm not going to go for the easy popcorn movie. I'm going to go for the one where I really have to pay attention. That's going to be a dream. But you go, yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to think that that's the choice that we make.
I can personally relate to it.
Yeah.
Because I have a drive.
Yeah.
So like my creative drive, like for example, if it's like learning a certain keyboard or if it's just like, for example, with my jazz music, I love my jazz music. I have the drive to learn that song from 1927. It sounds so good when you listen to it. And then you try to get your head around it, how to play it on the piano. And it's not comfortable.
You should play When the Saints Come Marching In instead. Or Trump Six Is Up.
My God's money time goes off.
Off.
Yeah. And then I just like move away from it. That's it. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And then a day after, I give it another try.
Yep.
Yeah. And then eventually I get my head around it.
Yeah.
And then bang, I've got it. I got the rhythm right. I got the tempo right. I got everything perfect. And then it's a bliss.
Yeah.
Then I do that song. It feels awesome. And I think that's what happens here in the physical. Like eventually we become so fluent with being here that we don't need to be here anymore. You reach that point. Like once you know how to play a certain song.
Yeah.
Or say like a classical song, like a Beethoven or Schubert.
Yeah.
You know, once you got it, you know, you're pretty much like, you mastered it. Yeah.
Yep.
Then you look for the next song.
Yep.
Yes. So, and...
Who was it you said last episode, or the one before, to do with psychedelics? And you said, once you get the message, run the phone, hang up.
Yeah, you hang up.
Yeah, like that was, I keep thinking about that. Because once you got it, move on to the next.
Yeah, move up to the next. Like,
don't stay there and look for more from it.
Yeah. So, obviously, what we're experiencing right now is like, confronted with like a really difficult symphony.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're looking at a sheet of, you look at a music sheet that's like a 250 bar song rather than a 4-beat bar.
Yeah.
So it's 250 beats per bar. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And you're going to look at us like you just look like a forest of notes all overlaying each other. And there's bloody sharps and flats all combined. There's different time signatures changing all the time. And you look at it, and it's just like, looks like one mixed salad of notes.
Yeah.
And it's said, no way. And then you just slowly move yourself in it, just step by step. So obviously this is what we are facing right now. It's just like a salad of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but it's a very incredible, complicated symphony. And so we just need to know what to do about it. And obviously the realization that there is actually a physiological compartment involved with that madness we have observed lately, is good to know that it's not just in our head.
Yeah.
It's good to know that it's just like, hang on, how come that some people see it and other people
don't? Yeah, well, I think you made a point. It's good because it's like it's when you go traveling, when we used to be able to travel, you can still travel now, I guess, it's not the same anymore. You go to a country and they go, what's the purpose of your visit? And they go, business or pleasure. And it's like a lot of us have chosen the business trip. This is that we've come here not to have a hour and a half Marvel film with popcorn. We've come here to do the difficult foreign language film with the complex symphony. We've come here, this is a business trip. Mm-hmm. So we're check the box, like here to do business. Which is why when you're here and you're trying to get that done and there's either things not working out or it's, you know, there's all these things that happen or someone's trying to take that from you or people, you watch people, you know, attack you for it or try and steal your ideas. Or what we witnessed in the past few years is that the solution to all this was don't just get an injection or take some pharmaceuticals. There wasn't anything to do with the work required to be healthy beforehand. It was everyone now needs to just take this thing. Irregardless of what you're here for, what you do, what you know, or all that, it was gone. It was a flattening of everything. It's like everyone's the same now, and this is a solution, is in a little vial, and it's going straight into it.
But how come you didn't take it? How come I didn't take
it? Because I didn't check the box of like laying around doing jack shit. Like every time I've done something in the past, that's about what I do as a vocation. I won't say career because that's a stupid word. I think it's ridiculous to reduce yourself to a career path. It's very cold. Something you put on LinkedIn. You know, your resume, but I found the harder version. Like I could have, everyone's so much AI now replacing things, but it's forever been around. There's always been shortcuts. You can trace things, you can copy things, you can take shortcuts, you can steal from people, you can do all these, you can talk about what you've done and not having done it. In the creative field, it's very easy to fluff yourself up, or this happens in advertising and everything. And I've always seen those paths, and I felt even if my work doesn't end up as good, I'd rather have the integrity of that being mine and do it the hard way, you know, find a way through that and not look for the easy way, because when there's no challenge, there's no growth or learning, and there's also no satisfaction when it's finished. Now, it's very hard for me to get satisfaction for something when it's been about an industrial process, which is, you know, copy, paste, produce. And in industrial design, it's about mass production. So you create something that gets produced and goes out in the world. There's obviously value in that. It's why we have stuff. I've always looked for a different part in that I still have trouble defining. But there's an author he's a filmmaker named David Mamet. He's done some really interesting films, very theatrical films. He's also a fighter. He's a BJJ fighter. Not BJJ, it might be jiu-jitsu. And he said, don't internalize the industrial process. You're a unique person. You have a unique reason for being here. And if you have something to say or do, you need to say it and do it and think better of yourself as you continue to do so. So he's saying, don't take the outside world, which is be a machine and a cog and produce things that get reproduced, but go do it, to contribute what you can contribute to that thing and change it for the better and be yourself and speak out loud and do the work and do the hard work. And Bruce Lee said things like this all the time. It's don't copy, don't imitate success. Find that on your, find your own version of success. You know, take the stairs instead of taking the escalator. Do them, choose the hard part. And I always say, I've joked to people and I've said, I'd be faster and easier if you do it this way. And I joke and say, no, but it'd be way harder if I do it this way though. And it's a joke, but I also mean it a bit. Like, I'd rather take the, you know, I do these every week. I do the sketches for our podcast, and there'd be I could type this into AI and make a generation image for our podcast, and it would save me hours or a day. But I like to go and find the images and draw things I've never drawn before, and find the right composition and throw away the sketches that don't work. I end up with a rubbish bin full of mistakes, but I go through that and it's a challenge, but that's the process of doing that, that I find to be the reason for doing it. If I just want an image in the end, there's a million other ways to get there if it's just producing that end thing. And I make that distinction. It's the effort, the hard work, the learning. There's something's going to come out of that I'm going to do a bit differently the next time I go out and do that. There's always some learning, but I don't see the reason to get ahead by not doing that. So I think I've checked the business trip, which is why when COVID hit and everyone was, you know, on their moral superiority, you know, soapbox talking about, you know, oh, how easy it is. You just need to do this. And, you know, you can be a hero. You know, you can be brave. Just need to get this line up and roll up your sleeves for you, this and that. Like, it was military left work language for doing the easiest fucking thing you could possibly do, which is to get in line, get jabbed, and then go and tell everyone else to do the same thing. It was inversion of bravery or hard work or effort. And that's what we're told was the good thing to do for the benefit of everybody. The people who were doing the work and questioning and saying, let's do this and that, were the ones who it was turned into, you're the one who's, yeah, you're crazy, you're psychotic, you know, the fringe. Justin Trudeau called the trucker convoy. It was a small fringe minority of racists and misogynists who are doing this. And it turns out they were the opposite. It was families and kids and people who wanted to just work and continue on, right? So this majority calling the minority psychotic when it was a lot of the majority behaving in this kind of psychosis and things. I'm not saying it's everybody. Is that very weird upturn of reality, which brings me back to what you're saying, that this physiological reason or explanation for the breaking down of the amygdala and the barriers between that and it being exposed kind of actually makes a lot of sense. But my question would be also, if that's an organ, if we have the 12 primary organs in Chinese medicine, which you talk about a lot, is that you got your small intestine, large intestine, stomach, spleen, heart. They have energetic properties, and those are the primary organs that, if they work together, we have health and wealth and vitality. And if they don't work together, things break down, we suffer, we're in pain. So there's no concert, there's no jazz, you know, inside. Mm-hmm. We have disparate things and things fall apart. So we don't look after those organs and nourish them. Things like the amygdala, where do they fit in Chinese medicine or Taoism in terms of, is there an energetic organ there?
Okay, yeah, this is obviously what I'm aiming at, because the direct connection to the amygdala is via kidney. But then it's also via spleen and stomach. And then it's also via heart. So, but then it moves into all the other organs. But it's initially via kidney, because the main function of the organ is affiliated with the perception of fear and how to work with fear, which is why it's used in anxiety disorders, which antidepressants act on it. So there's different kinds of approaches now, which is why it's a mystery, where it says, okay, one say the amygdala shrinks in depression, under stress, etc.
Physically shrinks?
Yes, other research say it gets enlarged. So once you start looking into it, you will get a lot of contradictory perceptions about it, what goes on. This is why I like Chinese medicine, because Chinese medicine is never absolute. It's always about the field. And because it is an organ part of the brain that actually is under the influence of more than just one.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the fear that is affiliated with the amygdala, it's a kidney. When it comes to the decision-making, it's the gallbladder. When it comes to the emotional ability to rationalize your situation coherently in line with others, then you look in spleen. But then you're also looking at the stomach chi in order to provide the support for the kidney. So in no time, you've got something. And then you've got obviously also because when it comes to treatment of the amygdala from a Western perspective, the number one is breathing techniques.
Yeah.
And for example, if the amygdala gets overexcited, like as an anxiety, etc., breathing techniques are the number one, and mindfulness, meditation. So the Western world, all the solutions are evolving around breath work, meditation.
Yeah.
And then the dietary advice comes as a secondary approach. So this is why I believe it is so profound, because we are facing with evidence and fact and biological fact that our lifestyle needs to be changed on a fundamental level that involves spiritual work.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the brakes will not be reestablished and the car will go over the cliff.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it's doing. There's no brakes left.
Yeah.
So this is why it's an alarming research. And the way forward is to understand, okay, this brain function is subject to all the other 12 organs.
Yeah.
Because in Chinese medicine, the brain in itself is not something that we focused on. It's the result of how the organs work together.
Yeah, I always find that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's why the brain... They understood.
Right from the start. Yeah, of course, you've got lots going on in the brain, but it's a result of what happens in the organ.
It's like a fuse box or something that directs things. It's not something where things originate from. Is that correct? Is that where?
Yeah.
A junction box where...
For it to work effectively. In order for it to work effectively, it needs all the other organs.
Yeah.
As soon as you start depleting some of the organ functions, you've got brain problems.
Yeah.
So Alzheimer's, you can't say it's a brain dysfunction. It's actually affiliated with a certain lifestyle. It's affiliated with a certain dietary. But now you're actually looking at liver, you're looking at spleen, you're looking at all kind of other factors.
Yeah,
anxiety, it's not in the brain.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating that there is such little thing, the amygdala, that most people don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
It's hidden. Most people don't even know what it means.
Is it in Western medicine, is it the thing that is supposed to differentiate us from animals, that they don't have an amygdala, or is it the frontal cortex that's different?
Yeah, affiliated with the prefrontal cortex. Yeah.
It's
affiliated with the reason.
Yeah.
But its main focus is how it's affiliated with fear and to actually decision-making. So if it's impaired in whatever way, you have an excessive experience of fear and decision-making is impaired.
Yep.
So if you are in a state of constant fear and you can't make decisions, and now you actually can't make sense of yourself,
yeah,
it's going to turn into zombie land. You know, so it's obviously, from that perspective, you take the amygdala away, you know, you've got zombies.
Well, yeah, we do see a lot of popular culture references to zombies.
Yeah.
It's been a big one, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a reason for that.
Because that's obviously speculated by a lot of people that we're turning into zombies.
It's hard to dismiss that.
Yeah. Yep. So what is a zombie? It's got this drive to express itself, but it has got no reason and it's angry, but it's scared at the same time.
Yeah.
And it can't make decisions, which is why zombies always move left, right, forward. You don't know where they're going to go.
Right.
You can't reason with a zombie.
Right. And it spreads. It's always been linked to some sort of thing. It's viral. If the zombie's an idiot and it bites you, you become an idiot as well.
That's another thing.
If you hang around other zombies, you turn into one. Effectively, right.
If someone's amygdala is deficient, does it mean it can have impact on someone else also?
I think so.
It could be.
I think, again, you say we heard mass formation come up a lot, like mass formation psychosis, where a group of people, and they always say, you know, 80% of people are susceptible to outside control, 20% question it, 5%. I don't know exactly the numbers anymore. It's something like that, though. And I think it's something, it was either brought up by Malone or McCullough in 2020 around how people went on board so quickly and mass formation. It came up as the horde, mob mentality, the zombie mentality is that very quickly can spread through people, community, ironically, in almost a viral way. Where in contact with someone, it spreads. They should have sort of psychosis contact tracing instead of viral contact tracing. Have you been around someone who's, acting weird and then they're going to make you behave weirdly or fearful? Or they've read the newspaper. It happens to me all the time. I used to anyway. People are like, oh, did you read the news? Oh my God. And they're all freaking out. And I'm like, no, I don't read mainstream media anymore. Like, but you got to hit to, what about this? What about that? And they're throwing, getting really, they're trying to give you their fear and their anxiety and their anger that they've gotten from a bullshit narrative they read in the newspaper.
Yeah.
So I see it as, exactly, they're trying to infect you. And maybe not willingly. I don't think people wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to spread nonsense. I think there's anger and fear and a reaction. It's almost uncontrollable. But if you're not aware of it, or you're happy, or you're blissfully, you're doing your own thing, they need to bring you on board with them. Because you should be as upset, angry, and fearful and unhealthy as they are. And if you're not, you're doing something wrong. It's therapy.
Yeah, it's almost always sitting around with other zombies. You just never see like that.
Doing their own thing zombie, like a rebel without a cause, James Dean Yeah, zombies smoking a cigarette, driving a Porsche Spyder, you know. Maybe when James Dean crashes Porsche, he turned to a zombie afterwards. We don't know. He maybe went off and did his own thing for a little while, you know. But it was made me think of, I have a feeling I mentioned this way back in one of the early podcasts. But there's a movie from the 90s. I want to say it's 1997. I'll have to check this after that we finish. It's called The Relic. It's a movie that's to do with set in a Chicago Museum of Natural History. It's in Chicago, obviously. And the story is that someone in the rainforest of South America finds something in some artifact or some bug or something or moth and sort of sends it back to for analysis to this museum. And it's eating these leaves along the way. And somehow there's something in these leaves which triggers a massive evolutionary leap. So this thing mutates and becomes this large thing. And it basically, long story short, it ends up, I don't want to give this too much of the movie away, but it ends up being a chimera. And a chimera in mythology is this mixture of all these different creatures. So it's a combination of, you see it in mythology all the time, like griffins, which are lions and the wings of an eagle and the body of a unicorn or whatever it is. So this giant, this chimera is running around this museum in Chicago and it's actually eating people's amygdalas to evolve.
Really?
Yeah. So it turns out that it knows that it needs the amygdala of the brain to, and it eats it. And every time it eats one, it actually expands, absorbs the DNA or of that person and evolves rapidly. So it ends up being this huge freaking thing. I mean, it's actually kind of a good movie in a way that it's really silly but entertaining, but also has this really interesting story underneath of it. So The Relic, I think Tom Sizemore was in it. I'm worth looking up. I don't know if it's streaming anyway, but I'll say it. I think it's the amygdala. It's something like that, but I'm pretty sure it is because I'd never heard of an amygdala before I saw that movie. But they would find dead bodies and the head would be torn apart. And they're like, what is it doing? It's eating the brain. Then they find out that it's actually
that
going.
That actually makes a lot of sense. You know, that means like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab.
I've almost got through my way mentioning them.
They're after our amygdala.
Yeah, they're feeding on our amygdalas.
Yeah, they come from a dung cloud, from a pond.
Yeah.
And they were just little shitty particle. And then they realize if they eat other people's amygdalas, they're getting big.
Evolving into these mutants.
Yes, evolving to.
You think it'd make it look a bit better, though. They kind of look like they're a little shriveled up, though. You know?
Yeah, because obviously they don't have a good enough reflection because they never had that amygdala in the first place. So they don't know what beauty is.
Yeah. You know? They can buy it, but they don't know what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. So then they found a way how to consume other people's amygdala.
Yeah.
So they
Yeah, I mean, there is an energy vampire, right? Like, it's a trope. So there's a great, it's a comedy called What We Do in the Shadows. Also really funny. It was a movie and there's a series, but it's about vampire roommates.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of vampires from different eras living together.
Yeah.
And one of them's an energy vampire. And he just looks like this really, he looks like a bit like Bill Gates. He's just like, wears beige sweaters and his glasses. But he like bores people to death.
It's like a horror movie.
No, he talks like a droning talk and he bores them. And as they get bored, he sucks their energy out of them. So he feeds off their disdain and their negativity. So he tells them this really boring like water cooler chat about, you know, what Bob did on the weekend, and they're just like passing out and his eyes light up and he's like, he's eating it. So he feeds on people's bad emotions. So it is interesting. You know, we see these things in culture. It's and I think why we entertain by these things is somewhere we know there's something actually.
So his drive is to make other people bored.
Yeah.
That's what he's solved.
Or just sucking the life out of them by being so, like, absolutely droning.
I want to make you bored.
Exactly. And just let you just see them. They're, like, they're sleeping and he's, like,
awesome.
His eyes are, it's really good. So, energy.
Weird people.
Yeah. I know people like that.
They must be come from a different dimension, different planet, and suddenly realize that they got the wrong.
I think these people exist, and I think I've met them. You just see people who are just, like, oh, God, I can't be around them. They're just so draining.
Yeah.
Like, just so, it's almost like if mundane was a force. You know, we think mundane as being this neutral thing, but if mundane actually had this energy about it and it could actually draw, so I can feel it. In Brisbane, it happens to me all the time. There's some sort of mundanity that's below the surface. And unless you're really on top of
solid.
It, unless you're really, really
solid
out there and doing stuff and you stop for a second, it actually starts to feed off you.
I think it's so solid now, you can actually cut it with
a
knife and you can put it into the parcel and send it to whatever. So you take the Brisbane mundanity sliced for you.
Yeah, it's like a people Berlin wall, but not as cool, right? Yeah. Something like a souvenir of Brisbane, you know.
But that makes a lot of. I like that example with that horror movie, the amygdala monster, and because it's exactly from a Chinese medicine perspective. Yeah. I'm not after the organ function. I'm the energetics.
Yeah,
and there's an very specific energetic quality coming with it. And that's affiliated with the Yuan Qi, with the source Qi.
Yeah.
And that is directly regulating how your amygdala actually functions. So these are the brakes, basically, the protective layer. It's the Yuan Qi, which is the Dan Tien, the energy center below the navel. So, of course, there is that means for that organ to work effectively, there is an energetic unit with it. And obviously, when you look at the people who are trying to overpower, the old powers who are trying to control the world, they're obviously feeding on that because it's their means of having some kind of belonging to, because they don't believe in an afterlife.
Yep.
They don't believe in spirit, otherwise they wouldn't do what they do.
Yep.
It's very obvious.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they only exist for here in the physical, and then I think it's over.
Yeah.
So that means really the way forward is to actually develop the protection against those people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand that we're surrounded by these amygdala monsters.
Yeah.
And that we need to do an amygdala protection.
Well, like vampires is what crosses and holy water and silver.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what amygdala protection is. It's a better color or something.
Yes, it's a Yuan Qi. That's a Qi training.
Qi, okay, well, there
you go. First of all, it's the breath work.
Yeah.
So that means always like, it always comes back to breath work. And the next thing is obviously dietary regime. But then most important is obviously your cosmic Qi connecting to the cosmic Qi.
Yeah.
Because and I listened to an interesting podcast from another spirit source, and there was an ascended master coming through. And he said more and more viruses will be released in the physical. But you can only be impacted by those viruses if you've got a low frequency.
Yep.
If you have high frequency, you can't be impacted by those viruses. And that's exactly what Yogananda talks about in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, that for your cosmic chi zaps the virus. If you be strong, you will zap. And that's why so many of us who do the Qi practice couldn't get it impacted by COVID.
Yep.
I mean, like you had it, I had it so many times.
Less than
just a day. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite gross. Yeah. It was, I've had worse hangovers.
Yeah. And so it was like, breathe this through.
Yeah.
Back on track.
Like a mosquito zapper, you know? A feel.
Yeah.
And I get near it.
But then bang out again. Yeah. And I was. I mean, I never wore a mask in all this time. And
well, you better.
I kept working all the way through. And every time someone called me up, said, I really want a treatment, but I got tested positive. I said, please come in and make sure to hug me because I want to feel that shit.
Yeah. I mean, you can help them too. That was the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Of course. And because like the acupuncture I gave was immediately the person got to the table and COVID was gone.
Yeah.
I've seen it too many times.
Yeah.
People with the symptoms and one treatment, boom, gone.
Yeah.
And that is in line with what Yogananda talked about, that the cosmic chi zaps the virus. Yeah. And I could feel the virus afterwards in me for a while.
Yeah.
So when the client left, I had to do a qigong practice to get that virus out. But that took 20 minutes and then I was fine again. Yeah. And so this is obviously where what we're facing now is an understanding that, okay, there's a biological basis for the madness.
Yeah.
We suddenly have an evidence of, okay, we know what's going on.
Yep.
And if we don't have a fundamental shift in our lifestyle, there won't be any brakes on the car.
No, and it can't be fought with rational ways, like we've said in the beginning, like, you know, politics is symbolic and leaders aren't meant to be the solution. But also we've seen, you know, with the dam breaking on data and information and obviousness, even the mainstream media is being more and more like, hey, look how, you know, look at myocarditis, look at excess deaths, look at this, look at that. It's every day now. It's very, very hard to ignore now. All the evidence suggests that what happened was not only wrong, is actually it's almost evil, basically. And yet you can't. That's not enough for the people, you know, to actually go through that psychosis. It's the information or the, I don't know if the justice is the right word. It seems like there needs to be something like that, but it doesn't seem like that's enough.
But it's also, I think it's because a lot of people don't want to face that challenge anymore. And then basically unconsciously say, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, so they got a reason, an excuse for that virus, whatever, excess death, whatever. So that they allow the deaths to take place because we wouldn't allow this to happen ourselves.
No, I think the safety signal was triggered in the first 2 weeks of the first injection in 2020. It was already enough to stop it if we were following those rules. And that just to me is an evidence that all the systems are broken beyond repair and can't go back to those. All the reporting signals, public health, those things they're not salvageable. And arguably, it was bad to begin with. We shouldn't have been surprised by any of this.
It's run by people who don't have that strength anyway.
They're going
to run for the cliffs. They don't have any brakes left on their car.
Yeah.
So it will crash. And this year, 2024, will be an interesting year in that regard.
Yeah.
And so, but it is part of the challenge that we're here for in order to strengthen ourselves. So we have got, no choice other than to actually go into the source cheap in our body.
Yeah, connect to the grid.
So that then those zombies can't get us.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the zombie protection. And the what do we call it? Amygdala monster protection.
Yeah. At least we've got a basis now. At least we understand that there is something.
No, know your enemy.
Yeah, know your enemy.
Or know the challenge.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's more accurate.
It's biological now, so we know that, okay. So that means very simple, get up early, do your breath work, do your chi practice.
Eat properly
and stay away from news.
Speaking of eating properly, it could be something for the next conversation we have, because there's some interesting things happening in the world of food and farming. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some development there, yeah?
I just think it's worth talking about, for sure. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
Yeah. Until next time, stay away from the amygdala monster.
Yeah. And make the chi be with you.
May the chi be with you. Till next time. Hello. And thanks for listening to another episode of the Future Chi Podcast. If you've listened this far, perhaps you're willing to listen a little bit further. We'd really appreciate it if you could give us a rating and leave us a comment on whatever platform you listen to us on. And if you want to, share this podcast with friends, enemies, family, co-workers, significant others, pets, roommates. We don't mind. See you in the future.